Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 410. I'm gay. We're all gay here. Hello, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And I'm gay. So this week, we are back at Shiva's. They have hookah. I'm over here on the boards, being the professional podcaster while they're over there sucking on Satan's smoke cock. And I just realized that I said that. And my mom said, oh, by the way, I started downloading your podcast. So, hi, Mom. Love you.
Oh, my God.
Anyways.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I know. It's a bit weird.
We're a lot cleaner than we used to be.
I know, right? I told her.
Not nearly
as she did download an old episode way back in the day. And she's like, you guys shocked me so bad. I'm like, oh, well. So, we're here. It's been another week. Things are actually looking up a bit here in Saverin Land.
Mm-hmm. Looking pretty grim for a while there.
Yeah, it is finally looking up a bit for my family. Like, they're finally getting some material assistance from their church, which took them long enough, but they're doing it. Their trailer repairs cost a lot less than they expected. Their church is covering that. They're getting some tax stuff covered by this church. They're actually getting their roof looked at by the church, which that's a major deal. Like, they got a lot of roof to look at. So that's actually some really good news. My dad is healing up well. He's still doing antibiotics, but he's healing up properly. Like, he had a fairly gnarly doctor's appointment today, but he said it was okay. They gave him good drugs, gave him hydrocodone, so he's pretty happy after that. And so things are finally looking up for them. Like, don't get me wrong, things could totally just crash and burn, but for the moment, they're okay. Knock on wood. So, how has y'all week gone?
Actually, kind of stressful. So, Tieran is currently at Furta Confusion.
Right.
So, he's out in San Jose. And the week before a con is always a little bit stressful because, you know, we both have our day jobs. Tieran's been busy with his. My job has been super busy all month. We also have literally hundreds of orders to ship because the calendars, the Cheetah Paws calendars arrived.
Yep.
And so all the pre-orders got to go out. And I'm about halfway through. So we've been working on that and trying to catch up while also putting the finishing touches on prepping for the con and making sure that Tieran doesn't forget anything that he's taking as like a carry-on or anything like that. So when it's like a whole bunch of stuff all at once like that, it does get a little bit hectic, yeah, you know?
Just a bit. I mean, at least you hopefully have the doggo to help you out.
It's moving the box like just like Tieran's car, yeah. And maybe taking stuff to the post office.
Yeah.
So like my project for this weekend is gonna be try to get as caught up as possible on the rest of the orders while Tieran is not in the production room working on anything. But yeah, that's just me this whole week. It's just been busy, busy, busy.
Books.
One plus side thing is I got accepted to sell at ConDFW.
Yep.
Which Saverin will be coming with me. We have two tables, so it'll be one for me to sell books, one for him to sell for his parents' business.
Yep.
And it's a small sci-fi literary con out in Fort Worth. It's next month in, what, 2 or 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah. So, hey, if you're in the DFW area, it's condfw.org is their website. They have they always have an author and an artist guest of honor, and all of their panels are really about writing, in particular to the sci-fi genre.
Do you know who their author guest of honor is?
I don't off the top of my head.
I can Google.
But yeah, I had just looked the other day. I know like a couple years ago, it was John Scalzi, and that was like the last year that I was there dealing, and I had him sign his copy, my copy of Lock-In.
It's Charlene Harris.
Okay.
Ooh.
And who is
okay,
she?
Okay, so you know her work. I don't.
True Blood.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay, cool.
My sister was still in the States, she'd be all over that.
Well, I'll have a spare pass if you want to go
come out there. Like,
I won't say no. Is that this weekend or
it's 2 weeks from now?
So since it's in Fort Worth, Savard and I have a hotel because we don't have to want to drive back and forth to Dallas every day. But I mean, you guys could make like a day trip or something because. Yeah. Like, each table comes with two passes, and we have two tables. So.
Yeah. I don't know if my mom will come by, but even then, I'm pretty sure they're not personalized.
No, they're not. When it's a business, they'll just say the business name on all four passes. So.
Cool.
I might have to adult that day. TFF is coming, and we have meetings.
True.
Well, if you have, like, one of her books or something that you could give me, I could go get it, like, signed for you.
Yeah, but that's more meaningful if I, like, get the author to do it with me there. I mean, I can buy signed autograph stuff elsewhere. I like
it is nice to actually meet them and have that little interaction. And it's a small con, so it's not like when you go to like Neil Gaiman signing something when it's like a 3 second interaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, hi, sign, here you go. Because I mean, or getting a photo op at a big con, like, well, any local major con.
Like when we met Patrick Stewart and John Delancey.
Yeah, with quotation fingers, met. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
There's the drive-by meeting.
Yep.
Patrick Stewart looked at me and smiled. So I was like, I've had my moment. Ah!
One of the doctors held Rory.
Yes.
And Fez. Actually, Fez. Or Rory. Or both.
Oh, yeah. The eighth doctor's held Rory. He thought he was Basil Brush, who is a famous British TV character.
And you were like, yeah, sure.
And I told Tyrion that, and he's like, well, Rory doesn't mind being mistaken for a famous British fox. I was like, of course not.
Nice.
That's a compliment.
So we're going to hit a couple quick things before we get to our main topic for this week, the I'm gay.
Right.
We're gay. First of all, speaking of big conventions, something has happened with Akon. Of all things, this came up in the out of nowhere in the middle of the week.
Yeah,
that Akon, previously run by Phoenix Entertainment, previously run by my bosses Dean and Mary, who were previously my bosses, are now owned by a different company and or group, and is now moving back to Dallas as of this year. So they had 2 years in Fort Worth that didn't quite work out, and I really don't know what happened that prompted them to move, because they already had room blocks lined up. People had already made reservations in Fort Worth.
And it's a different date. I saw somebody say that they have non-refundable tickets from Scotland.
Oh my God.
To come to Akon on the dates that it was originally going to be.
And further, that puts it a week away from Anime Expo in LA, which is the nation's biggest. So you have the nation's biggest anime con next to the second biggest. So that's really questionable. Like, I really wonder what the fuck is going on. And the thing is, I haven't heard from Dean or Mary. Like, they still owe me money. But, like, even my friend who had helped them out a lot financially, he didn't know about this till last second. He was their vendor lead. Oh. So, like, this is super out of the blue that Akon, this major cultural convention institution that's been around for 30 goddamn years, just changed hands and shifted dates.
Where in Dallas are they coming back to?
They haven't announced the venue.
Yeah, I'm going to their thing. I'm going to the Project Akon Facebook, and have they said anything?
And they've also been really cagey about who bought them. Like, they haven't said, and that's something that I would expect. You know, like, if I bought another company, I would totally be like, such and so. Well, I did that. Like, we took over Bad Dog Books, and we were totally like, Bad Dog Books is now part of Fur Planet. You know, so if I ran Joe Blow Anime Conventions LLC, I would totally be like, the fine people at Joe Blow Anime Conventions LLC are now the owners of Akon, and here's our venue.
Yeah, because they don't post a lot to Facebook. It's like August 17th, September 3rd, December 14th, where they said, hey, we have exciting announcements coming very soon. And then a full month later, they drop the big news that, hey, we've been bought and we're moving back to Dallas. So,
well, last year, like, I took my niece to Akon and I looked all over their website for a link to the schedule. Could not find it anywhere. I had to go out, like, out on their Twitter. to find one like small link out to their stuff in order to get like their schedule. I'm like, I was super not impressed.
So this raises a lot of questions for a lot of my brethren that some of them elevated up, went up into Akon. They're working with them or were. I mean, it's so weird to have this thing that is, to me, really important. Like, I've been attending Akon for over half its run.
Look at their prices. Have their prices not gone up? It's $85 for when they get up to their regular tickets.
I think that's up a little bit.
There was a comment on the Facebook that they were increasing prices, which would make sense if they just bought the thing and they need to make some money. And then people were complaining about it, so they were talking about maybe doing like a price freeze and then putting the prices up to what they want in 2020. But they also haven't finished updating the website yet. Like, the TOS on the website still says they're owned by Phoenix Entertainment.
Yeah, so it's really weird that this just came out of the blue and nobody knows anything.
Yeah. So if anybody knows anything and they want to like send us an anonymous tip to southpawscast@gmail.com or Tumblr.
Tumblr.com.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, that's a big deal for the local convention scene, because it's, again, the biggest con around. And new leadership might reinvigorate it, but it's also just a big shift, and, like, the other large local anime con, Anime Fest, could probably stand to benefit as well.
They're doing badge feeling, so maybe they hooked up with, like, one of the Comic-Con buyers.
God, that would be terrible. If they got bought by, like, Reed Pop or something like that, and it became a corporate entity more so than a large fan-organized thing. We'll find out soon enough, but that was a major thing that happened this week that is impacting a lot of us, too. Because, like, several people I know are, like, former staffers that would get, like, legacy badges because they would previously have been, like, exec staff. And they would just get legacy badges for them and their kids every year. And they'd been going since the con was, like, 5. So they're like, well, I guess that marks the end of that.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know for sure.
But we don't know. There's
if I was one of those legacy staffers, I mean, that would be a question I would definitely have. And the thing is, I hope people see this or that they send out an email to people that are registered so that people don't show up at Fort Worth on the old dates. Like, where's the con?
Fort Worth was not the greatest spot. There's not a lot of food downtown. It was the biggest event that Fort Worth ever had. Like, the restaurants downtown weren't prepared to handle that.
There also wasn't any super close. I mean, you had to take there was a bit of a drive to get to most of the...
It's not like downtown Dallas that has nightlife and shit. It's Fort Worth. The reason that Fort Worth is called Panther City sometimes is because there was a line in the paper way back in the day saying that downtown Fort Worth is so boring, they found a panther asleep on Main Street. So they kind of owned it a little bit. So there's like the Panther Island Brewery, Panther blah, blah, blah. Because Fort Worth has a long-term reputation of being boring as shit.
Had it escaped from the Fort Worth Zoo or something?
It was not literal. Oh. But it was just
like, oh, okay. Like, I thought it literally happened. Because no, I could totally see that.
It was like,
sorry, I lived in Florida all the time. Finding a panther asleep somewhere could happen.
Yeah. No, this was like some Dallasite shit-talking Fort Worth. And,
right.
And Fort Worth going,
like I'm about to do, because I was a little pissed at, like, I was reading a lot of the comments, and a lot of the people were like, oh, Dallas sucks, downtown Dallas is a mess, so, like, I don't want to, you know, I'm gone for the last time then, because I'm not going to Dallas. And I'm like, fuck y'all.
Fort Worth doesn't have mass transit, doesn't have restaurants, like, its Uber situation's probably not nearly as hot. The closest spot to really go and do restaurant stuff is several miles to the west outside of downtown, and you would have to know where to go.
A lot of people were saying they're going to miss doing stuff like a water fountain.
The water gardens? Yeah.
Water gardens.
It is pretty.
That is very pretty.
They did a lot of photography with like some of the cosplays out there.
It's this really neat, like, brutalist architecture water garden thing. It's really nice, but
it's not a reason to keep a venue.
Yeah. Like, they were dealing with the city in that particular case, too.
Yeah.
Because they were in the convention center and not, like, hotels. So there's probably a million different things going on there that I have no clue about.
Yeah, like, something I'm really curious about is that they've effectively either canceled their contract at that venue or had it canceled.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
same with the hotels there too.
That's a lot of money to drop to change.
So how does that affect things?
Yeah. You know? So,
and even if another company stepped in and bought them, why would they feel it necessary to like change all that shit that was already set up?
Yeah.
So something else happened, I guess.
There is some giant fucking question marks, and I haven't heard from either Dean or Mary for months. So fuck if I know, dude. I might have to go like show up at their aquarium shop and be like, hey, buddy, what's up? And that's assuming it's still open. So I don't know.
Right.
No, they had an aquarium shop.
Yeah, it was a recent development.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they were like, let's sell Akon and throw money into a retail store.
I mean, they have been doing it for 30 goddamn years. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But it is like a major local institution that's just been like thrown up in the air and everyone's like, what's going on? So if we find out more, we'll obviously bring it up because this matters to me.
Yeah.
I go to anime conventions sometimes. I'm a bit too old for that to some degree, but I still enjoy them in like the cosplaying and whatnot. So like a major,
this would be like, I don't know,
Anthrocon, this should be like Anthrocon deciding to say, fuck it, we're going back to Philadelphia.
Right. This year, when we've already, everyone's already set to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right.
Or BronyCon deciding, oh, we're going to skip off to, you know, Annapolis or whatever. Or
when it's just a couple months away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those of us who have booked hotels know what kind of money that they would have had to pay to break if the venue didn't do it for them. I don't want to know what booking the fucking convention center would cost you.
Oh, goodness, no.
And like, there's also a lot of speculation on where they're going to go because they were like, they were kind of too big for the Anatole, apparently, at the last year they were there.
And
they've already left the Sheraton, which was the other biggest convention area here apart from the actual K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center, and that probably costs a lot.
Yeah, and that also doesn't have enough convention like hotel space attached.
One hotel attached.
It's only got like 1,500 rooms.
Yeah.
Which ain't much when you've got 30,000 attendees.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there on the Dart.
Like, yeah.
You can take Red Line down to it.
Yep. It's a real short walk. Because it's like it's right underneath the Dart station's like right underneath the convention center.
Yeah, you literally go up an escalator and you're inside.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is super convenient if they do end up in the K. Bailey Hutchinson, but
it's just weird.
Yeah.
The whole thing of this happening so close to the event is just like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, it's January, but you'll have to understand that conventions move on like 18-month time schedules.
At the minimum.
You know where you're going to go next before you start the previous year's convention.
Yeah, like AC, I think their dates are already known for like 2022 or something because they signed a multi-year contract with the city
or
the
convention. Well, it was like same with like BronyCon. They had set a multi-year contract and this was the last year for it.
Yeah.
And that's the last year. So it's really interesting. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Because, man, I don't know. You know, speaking of other conventions, HarmonyCon's here in 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks.
HarmonyCon?
The PonyCon that's trying to replace, that is taking the place of Nightmares. I can't replace it.
Well, it's not even really taking the place because I was surprised.
It's in February.
I was surprised they're doing it in February. Like, if I was following up on a previous convention after a 1 year break, kind of like Denver did with Rocky Mountain Fur Con, Denver is like the same weekend and not quite the same location, but close to it. Like, so if I was following up Nightmare Nights with another con, I would, well, they did do it at the Crown, but I would have had it in October.
Yeah.
So the same location, just
different. They got a good deal earlier.
They got a good deal on it. I actually did sit down and talk to both the con chairs this last weekend and ran them down some lists. And they do seem fairly well prepared. Honestly, I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm going to be there as a vendor for my parents, same as I'm going to do for Con DFW, so I'd have a little bit less to drive for that case. So, you know, I'm going to be there. I'll be on the ground floor. I'll see anything happen. But I'm going to hopefully sell some jewelry to bronies mm-hmm. and probably sell off some of my, like, custom merch that's still lurking around that's not, like, super, like, I got to keep this. Mm-hmm. February's going to be busy because it's, like, Weatherford, Harmony Con, Con DFW, 3 weeks in a row. Going to be wild.
Lots of cons.
The next thing on the list is Tumblr. You killed the porn and kept the Nazis.
Yeah, that is the opposite of what you should have done.
Tumblr, as we all know, banned all the porn from the site, and they didn't do anything about the Nazis. And so there was an article on Think Progress today. Like, 1 month after controversial adult content purge, far-right pages are thriving on Tumblr.
Wow.
So, as I said last week, I killed my Tumblr outright. I deleted it, took the thing off my bar. A lot of artists that I follow on Tumblr, I follow on Twitter now because everybody was like, they gave us warning. So they're like, yo, follow me here on Weasel or Ink Bunny or FA or Twitter or whatever. So, you know, my main Twitter feed's way hornier now. All the artists kind of had to migrate to furry sites or Twitter.
Or DA if they weren't furries, I guess.
Yeah, and not an explicit adult.
Right.
Or they, like, put the safe for work versions and you got to go to, like, Imgur or their Patreon or whatever. You know, people had to scramble and reorganize their shit. But this was pointed out, like, immediately after the fact that you can't post titties or furries, but you could totally post white nationalist propaganda. And... Mm-hmm. You know, Nazi shit on Tumblr, and they hadn't done nothing about it.
And we even talked about that on the show, how, like, people would, like, do a search for furry, no results found, do a search for white supremacist or something.
Yeah.
Hitler, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, a month ago, it's been 1 month, and I'm sure that they've seen a big hit to their traffic. I've lost track of a number of artists. I'm seeing a lot less porn on my timeline. It's very sad. But basically, they're saying, it's like, well, you know, Tumblr's CEO maintained that the changes were made to foster a more inclusive community. As Tumblr,
it's had the opposite effect,
continues to grow and evolve, and our understanding of our impact on our world becomes clearer, we have a responsibility to consider the impact across different age groups, demographics, cultures, and mindset. D'Onofrio stated in December, we will focus our efforts on creating the most welcoming environment possible for our community. And the net result is that a lot of queer folk left the site. Mm-hmm. A lot of artists left the site. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had their shit improperly flagged. I mentioned last week,
yeah,
like, my progress shots from when I was losing a bunch of weight got flagged.
This would have hit a lot of safe work artists, too.
Oh, yeah. It super did, because the second wave of algorithm I saw that made me delete mine, I'd see people like completely safe for work furry stuff get flagged and hidden. And it's just like,
yeah,
this one guy was like this flyer for a furry convention in like South America somewhere that he did. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, this got flagged. What the fuck? And it's just, you know, cute toony furries at a cabin, you know, being cute.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, your guy's not wearing pants, so clearly it's adult. You know, it was probably tagged because it had the hashtag furry in it. And they banned that tag. Like, you can't post furry stuff on the Tumblr with the furry tag and expect it to be found. And if you use the furry tag, I'm pretty sure it just blacklists it, because only the first couple tags count.
Mm-hmm.
But any tag that's, quote, blacklisted won't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So Tumblr has murdered a chunk of their artist community and didn't do a thing about a shitload of white supremacists.
Right.
And as of this posting, a lot of the blogs that were pointed out got nuked immediately, but Tumblr is not actually doing anything about them. Yeah, you know, they're talking like the Daily Stormer has been forced change to made. Twitter has kicked off far right figures like Tommy Robinson. Richard Spencer has been booted from fundraising platforms. Last August, over the course of a few days, conspiracy theorist Alex Jones was kicked off of Facebook, Spotify, YouTube, and Apple for violating community guidelines against hate speech and harassment. But not Tumblr. A brief hour-long search earlier this week, for instance, yielded 37 different pages devoted to various far-right movements like neo-Nazism, ethno-nationalism, and white supremacy. But that guideline doesn't seem to apply to Adam Offen, AWD, violent neo-Nazis, British. There's various other groups that show up, type in Adam Offen on Tumblr search bar, and two of the five most popular results are pages glorifying it. You know, it's just like, hey, these guys... We kicked off all the titties and kept the fascists.
Kicked off the titties, kept the Nazis.
Yeah, it's super disappointing, but not really surprising. Like, I wonder how this is actually like affecting their bottom line. Oh, we're going to make it more inclusive by making it super fucking exclusive to anybody that's not a straight male, it seems. You can't be a queer artist making cool, weird shit, mm-hmm. but you can post pictures of, you know, skinheads with guns.
I wonder how the incel community is doing on Tumblr.
Oh, they're probably doing just fine, but then they're really mad because they don't get any porn to look at anymore. They can't be like, oh, these tits disgust me. Fap, fap, fap. You know? It is one of the biggest, like, puzzling things. I mean, yeah, it's basically because Verizon wants more ad revenue. Like, it's purely down to dollars and cents, but it doesn't make it make any more sense, ultimately. Like, no. They shot themselves in the foot. Like, oh, we're going to get rid of all the porn and that'll make it more attractive to advertisers. But there's nobody there to look at the advertising, or the people that are seeing your advertising are not people you want associated with your brand, you know?
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate.
That's weird.
Yeah. Link to the article in the show notes. Yeah,
links will be in the show notes as always. So the big topic for this week, it's queerness. Being gay. I'm gay.
I'm gay. Ooh.
I am also gay.
Oh my god. This actually was started by our dude Sonic Fox, in a way. He, you know, he's always outside like, yo, I'm the best DBZ fighter player in the world. Also, I'm gay. Don't you fucking forget it. And basically, he's out there being an out and loud, proud gay dude. And this gets people's panties in a bunch. The angry gamer hordes. And people are like, oh, you know, this is only going to make people hate gay people more. It's like, really, you'd be hard pressed to make them hate gay people more than they already do if they already hate gay people. And he admits this, right, because he's getting all sorts of harassment from furry asshole YouTubers who are themselves gay and therefore claiming that, well, I can't be homophobic because I'm gay. No, and we'll get to that in a minute. So this is the thread from Sonic Fox, and it'll be linked in the show notes. You know, it must feel great to have the things you've said taken out of context, lol. Two things that are a problem with you is that, one, you assume too much as you know me, and two, the video you made is just blatantly inaccurate. Basically, he's like, my entire content is not based off saying I'm gay, and if you found only like 18 tweets and you saying I'm gay in 2017, 2018, then you're actually just overlooking the other near 2,000 tweets of content. It's almost like I'm a professional gamer or something, lol. You're allowed to feel however you want about me. Calling me annoying or obnoxious are valid feelings, but you're not allowed to police me and my actions on my personal account. Your arguments continue to be off inaccuracy and in bad faith, which is why I don't care about your point. In terms of me, you act like I'm above criticism when I already have acknowledged how many people from even the LGBTQ people have different opinions on how I feel, and that's fine. But I'm going to keep moving forward since I know what I'm doing influences and has an effect on people. And this is the important bit. You may not like it, but the fact that I can make so many people feel comfortable with themselves and to coming out with their families and be confident in themselves, even if it was just one person, is enough for me to know what I'm doing is right. Or, don't like it, do it better than me. Your content consists of criticizing, demeaning people half the time when you could use it way better to uplift people. It's why I don't treat people like shit, which is something you can learn. But I'll only be louder from here, and that's a promise. I'm gay, and I will never stop saying I'm gay until it is everywhere and everyone is comfortable with it. Your biggest mistake was taking me as a normal person in your video. Make it louder, folks. Make your voice be heard. Hashtag I'm gay. And that basically got a lot of people using that hashtag and tweeting about it and being like, yo, hashtag I'm gay. And that actually got it trending.
Yeah. Wow. So he didn't start the hashtag, but he popularized
it. Yeah. You know, he's got 150,000 plus followers, so he can popularize something pretty easily, which is good. You know, he's using his platform for good.
On the note of his followers, I think the critical YouTuber is just salty because Sonic has way more followers than he does.
And, like, honestly, it's kind of silly, I think, to even pay him any mind, but it's also valid to be like, look, man, you're being a dumbass.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, Sonic Fox is probably the highest profile queer young person in popular culture right now, especially in the terms of being furry, being very public about it, and also being in the gamer sphere, which is, let's just face it, not a very progressive space.
No.
So that one of the highest earning fighting game people, period, is a 21-year-old gay black furry is a big fucking deal. And the fact that he is out there being like, yo, I'm gay, that is super important for young people that are closeted, people that are questioning themselves, being like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And they see this kid out here being his authentic ass self, kicking ass, taking names, making money, and also just being a young adult while also being unapologetically gay and black and a furry. And that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a very big deal.
In my day, we didn't have anything like that. And I say that as like, I'm only 35. Y'all are in your 40s. Yeah, but we didn't have that kind of thing. But
shit has moved really fast.
And it's really cool.
Yeah. Not fast enough, but pretty quick to make this much progress in our lifetimes.
So you got lots of people out there being like, no, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to let people know I'm gay, I'm queer, I'm out there. And like for me, anytime, you know, I'll just drop that shit in conversation with randos. I'll bring it up with my doctors. I'll bring it up when it needs to be in times and places it's appropriate. Just being casually gay and putting that out there to people makes them kind of like, oh, okay. You know, it's a normalization in a way. With Sonic Fox being out there being like, I'm really good. I'm gay, by the way. It's like, oh, wow, this being gay is not just this stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And like me talking to people and just casually mentioning my partner, mentioning Panther to people, they'll be like, oh, what? Oh, okay. Oh, just normal looking dude. You got a beard and long curly hair. You don't look like a homo. And so normalizing just being out and queer is real important for the next generation, mm-hmm. because this next generation, his cohort and younger, are really gay. Like,
they're also eating a lot of ass.
They're eating a lot of ass. That's the new generation.
You know why? Gluten free.
That's true. But this younger generation. I don't know if
it's vegan, though.
It's cruelty free.
That's true.
You know, because you can't be cruel and eat ass at the same time. So this next generation is a lot more queer, a lot more open to it. You know, they're exploring their sexuality and their gender and how they want to express that. And that's really good. And so having one or two prominent queer folk out there is helpful. And yeah, you know, like, it's really easy if you're gay, if you're trans, if you're anything, you can totally, you know, you can't, I wouldn't say it's easy to, you know, you can't say, oh, you know, you're a homophobe. It's like, well, you have internalized homophobia. You can have internalized biphobia. You can have internalized transphobia. Even if you are in those groups, you know, it's the same. It's the difference between like, oh, you know, I'm cool with gay people, but I don't like fags. You know, I'm cool with, you know, bi people, but I don't like sluts. Oh, trans people are fine, but I don't like T-slurs. It's the same class as like, I like black people, but I don't like N-words. You know, it's the exact same thing mm-hmm. where, you know, you might be in that group, but you're separating yourself out being like, oh, well, you know, I'm still kind of normal, unlike that super weirdo over there.
Yeah. I've literally had black people say there's a difference between black people and N-words. And it's when you look at it, it's like, yeah, that's internalized racism.
You can totally feel that way, but people are going to notice that too. You know, don't try to appeal to the greater society at the expense of your kin. That doesn't do anybody any good. You know, it's one of those things where it's like you look at these, you know, queers for Trump or any of these conservative gays, and they're like, I don't think you're going to be up against the wall with the rest of us, motherfucker.
This is like people like Caitlyn Jenner boggle my mind because she was totally all supporting Trump and Republicans. And then when he did the let's kick all the trans people out of the military thing, she suddenly tweets, you know, I voted for you. Why are you doing this? And it's like, did you seriously not think this was going to happen? I guess she seriously did think that wasn't going to happen. And I'm just like, how could you not see the mountains of evidence to the contrary, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, people are like, oh, you know, gays don't face discrimination anymore. Why are you have to be so out and loud and in people's faces about that? Well, because homophobia, transphobia, etc. is still a major issue. In many states, you can be fired for being gay. In many, many, many states, you will be fired for being trans. In we happen to know somebody who lost their job because they're gay. It's the guy who made our show's theme song, motherfucking Pepper Coyote, lost his job due to homophobia. And he tweeted this. So this isn't like he hadn't made a note about it. He hadn't said anything about it until Chip Fox did a thread about the discrimination faced by queer people in America. Mm-hmm. When he was like, he quote tweeted the thread that Chip Fox did and is like, why does Pep suddenly have all this free time during the workday? Because surprise, unfortunately, thanks to Arizona being a shithole, he's not doing what he was doing anymore.
Yeah.
And that's fucked up and sad because he'd been doing that for a while. And sure, he's being, you know, furry famous and doing music, but that's not a he doesn't have like a full-time non-furry non-musician job anymore because of homophobia. So this is why normalizing and being loud and being unapologetically gay and forcing people to just fucking deal with it and basically bending these motherfuckers to our will is necessary because, you know, it's affecting everybody mm-hmm. that's queer. But it's like, here's a really concrete example of somebody in our community who is very high profile and well-liked who lost their job because of homophobia.
And on that note, something I was going to mention this week is go and support Pepper Coyote on Patreon.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes.
Patreon.com/PepperCoyote. We'll link it. He currently has 84 patrons. I'd love to see that go up, you know, tell him Southpaw sent you. But, you know, he's a friend and he's a good guy. And I'm like, yeah, well, as a community, we should totally be supporting Pepper and people like him.
Yeah, and it was really out of the blue. Like, he hadn't said anything about it. And I follow him on Twitter. We're mutuals, you know.
Yeah.
But that's a big shock that somebody so high profile in the fandom would just be like, oh, yeah, by the way, this is something I faced and dealt with. And now I'm dealing with the consequences thereof.
Yep.
Because, I mean, Arizona has a pretty low cost of living, but that's still dire straits.
Still his job.
Yeah. So that's why being out there, being proud, it's like you're out there doing normalizing behavior when it comes to the people that can't necessarily. And don't apologize for being queer or, you know, being gender nonconforming or anything like that. Just be who you fucking are. And if it's safe for you. You know, this is why things like I'm gay and being out there, it's like, you know, letting people know is important because even if it's not like a super big deal for you, it could be a big deal to someone who's in the closet or someone who is questioning themselves and being like, you know what? You know, it's not everybody is not the stereotype from fucking Will and Grace from 1995 or whatever. It's like, no, gay people are everywhere. Everybody's a lot queerer than you think. And it's important to embrace that and be who you are.
You know, and even if you are, quote unquote, the stereotype, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, so going on to like the internalized homophobia, biphobia and whatnot. Like, I mean, I've held those opinions where I'm like, you know, originally I was like, I'm not really down with gay pride. And I'm like, okay, so to a point, I'm still not down with pride parades and that I won't attend them just because I don't like parades. So just because I don't
it's
like
loud and crowded and hot because even if it's in September, it's hot as shit
outside
in
the 110 degree Texas heat.
That's the whole thing about pride is like, why the hell are you holding it? I mean, do it in like April.
At least it's not in the summer like most other pride parades.
Like, it should be in June, which is when Pride actually started with the Stonewall riots. So
it's a bit warm in Texas.
Yeah, but
though.
I think earlier when it's like not going to kill me and give me a heat stroke to be outside.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Texas chose not to do it in June because it's too hot. I don't know why they did it in September
as opposed to
like you said, like April or something.
April, it's nice. Even in May, it can be warm. But, like, April is the perfect time to be outside in Texas.
But, yeah, so, yeah, I'm not attending Pride, but, I mean, clearly we need Pride. And we need to be out there. And queer people come in all shapes, sizes, colors, gender expressions, personalities, you know, personal expression. You know, as varied as straight people are, queer people are as varied, and you know, you just need to get to know us. But like, yeah, though I totally agree with Sonic Fox's thread and the being out and, you know, and having representation is a good thing.
Being
it's
visible.
Something that we need, and of course, because, you know, people always say, but what about I'll definitely say, you know, don't come out if you feel that it's not safe and or if you are not ready to do it yourself. But even people that aren't ready to come out themselves, seeing the people that are out, it signals to them, especially if they're young and questioning their sexuality, that it
gives them hope that maybe someday
it gives them hope. And more than that, it also tells them that there's nothing wrong with them.
They're not alone. There's others like me out there.
Right.
I just can't get over Pepper having to do that because I know what he did for a living and I know he really enjoyed it. So I hope he can find another place to find gainful employment.
Or hopefully, you know, he's doing a lot better with his music than he was because he's slowly been building his audience and selling more albums. And, you know, hey, if he could be a fucking full-time musician, singer-songwriter, that'd be awesome too. So yeah, totally go hit up his Patreon. You know, he has some pretty cool bonuses and behind the scenes stuff and special streams for patrons, things like that. What's next, Sarah?
Well, hey Fuzz, have you ever tried not being a shit male? Have you tried not being toxically masculine? Do you shave?
I do shave, oh, yes, no. And I generally try not to be a toxic person, yeah.
So, you don't catcall women? You don't bully other people?
No.
You aren't enraged by Gillette woke-vertising, saying, hey, dudes, you can do better, be better?
Yeah, I'm not. And, like, you know, Gillette's ad that's caused some small degree of controversy is, like, it's barely woke. It's really just saying, hey, being a man doesn't mean bullying other people. Being a man doesn't mean catcalling women. And masculinity doesn't have to be toxic. And I think that's a lot of the people that are complaining about the term toxic masculinity. They're like, oh, it's an SJW thing and stuff like that. Well, the term doesn't mean that masculinity in and of itself is toxic. Just that the behavior of some masculine people is toxic. And you can act in a toxic way that's very masculine. If you take the whole I'm bigger than you and I'm going to push you around kind of thing. But, you know, the other things that are masculine are like taking care of your family and being a provider and being a friend that you can count on, or even being a friend who's going to call you out on your bullshit. I mean, all of those things can be masculine too. And so honestly, the people that are complaining about the Gillette ad, I'm just like, which part of the ad did you object to? The part that said, don't bully people? Because like one of the scenes is a father coming over to his child who's beating up another boy and saying, hey, we don't treat each other like that. I'm like, yeah, we were all taught that in fucking grade school or before. You know,
don't do that kind of shit.
This is something your parents should have taught you. This is something that teachers would have taught you your whole life. I saw one furry saying, my conservative Christian family taught me this. And yeah, this is something that's just sort of like human nature. So I'm really not clear on why people are freaking out about it. And what's interesting is going into the media, there's been some interesting tweets that have uncovered this, where it's like the BBC put out an article talking about, you know, backlash about Gillette's ad, and it turned out that their source was like an angry tweet from a guy with like 7 followers.
Yeah.
And that's their quote unquote source.
Their backlash of a dude that made an account 2 months ago.
Right.
And has no followers.
And like another article, not the BBC, something else, that like their source was like a guy with like 7 digits after his username and a brand new account. So clearly like a bot account. And so a lot of, yeah, we're having a lot of dialogue about, ooh, the backlash to Gillette. But part of that narrative is being pushed by a very irresponsible news media.
Yeah. They're looking for, they got to, you know, get both sides of the quote unquote controversy when really it's, yeah, okay, cool. I mean, this is basic ass woke-vertising. Like I said, this is no different than, you know, Nike doing Colin Kaepernick. It is incidental that it is good. Like, this is a basic message that men should know. But if not, maybe they'll think about it. But the thing is, this is also a calculated decision by Procter & Gamble, realizing, you know, people are going to respond positively to this. And the people that don't, we don't really need them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's incidental that it aligns with, you know, not being shitty. It's good that it does, but yeah. It's not like, oh, you know, this company is going to get woke, as it were.
Yeah.
They're just looking where the trends of society are and are going, yeah, actually, this will be good for our bottom line.
Right.
And also, one of the other interesting things is, like, for a lot of purchasing systems in the home, women make the choices and women are the ones that see the advertising. So they're like, oh, you know, Gillette did a pretty good ad about not being a shitty dude. Maybe I'll buy those for my husband or boyfriend or whatever. I mean, right. That's an angle that could be seen from it. It's good, but it's also gotten some weird reactions from people. Like, people are like, oh, well, I'm going to go to Dollar Shave Club when Dollar Shave Club has had, you know, ads that feature lesbians and trans people. And then you've got these little no-name brands that are like, we're shaving products, but for assholes, that are like trying to be like, oh, you should check us out. We're just shaving and manliness. None of this toxic masculinity skeleton bullshit. It's funny because I have a word replace filter on Chrome that replaces SJW with skeleton. And the word cuck with scary ghost. So these goddamn skeletons ruining everything. And so that my brain is like, anytime I see SJW, it just goes, skeletons.
Oh, that's funny. So the plugin has now actually been installed in your brain.
Yes.
So you just automatically auto-correct.
Those spooky, scary skeletons telling you not to be shit.
I retweeted this thing that was like, well, if you're going to boycott Gillette, you better boycott these other companies. And one of them is Schick, the other big razor maker.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is the parent company of Dollar Shave. Because a lot of people were being like, well, I'm just going to go with Dollar Shave. Their parent company made an ad like this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like these other companies' ads or statements didn't make as big a media splash, but for some reason, this Gillette ad got a lot more coverage.
You know, it's just some right-wing YouTuber probably saw it and went, ah, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Those damn skeletons. And then, of course, their Twitter dipshits followers. Like, and then, of course, you have the dudes like the composer of Halo's original theme did the, like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to, thanks for the ad, Gillette, I'm going to go to Dollar Shave Club now or whatever. And it's like just the weirdest shits deciding to out themselves over a really benign nothing of an ad. It seems so weird to like fling yourself into the melee over a commercial.
Yeah.
Like
it is.
And if you look for tweets that are complaining about this ad, your block list will grow fat and powerful.
Oh my God, it's been so nice. Because it's like, anytime there's been a tweet on the Sonic Fox discourse, anytime there's been a tweet about the Gillette thing, it's been really handy and being just like, block, 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 block. You're a shithead. Report, report, report. I've gotten so many updates like, yeah, this Twitter account was found violating the Twitter guidelines. I'm like, damn straight. Does it do any permanent good? Probably not, but I'll do it, you know, and it's just so dumb.
It is really, really dumb.
And the really funny bit is that this also continues the trend of people throwing things they've purchased in the trash or the toilet and breaking them. Or, you know, this is the same as when people shot their Yeti coolers because they stopped doing an NRA thing.
Yeah, yeah. So talk about that, because you mentioned that to me at lunch the other day, and I hadn't heard about this at all.
Yeah, like Yeti brand coolers, I think it was, stopped a special coupon thing that, like, they gave a discount to NRA members. Mm-hmm. So they stopped doing a discount, and people did what they did with the Keurigs and whatever else. It's like, anytime the thing du jour, like, oh, well, I've got this, I'm going to shoot my $200 overpriced fucking ice chest, or I'm going to throw my Keurig out the window and smash it.
It's like, do you know how much Yeti coolers run?
Well, they do know. They spent the money to buy them, and then they damaged them and destroyed them because they're having a hissy fit.
The picture of the toilet bowl with the Gillette razor in it. And it's just so stupid, because I'm predicting, like, 6 months from now, plumbers coming out like, well, found your problem. There's a whole lot of shaving razors stuck in your pipes.
Well, that's mm-hmm. the thing, too, is like, boy, I can't wait for this dumb shit to flood his toilet. And he's like, yeah, well, of course I dug it out. And so I was like, wow, way to sell phone, Mr. Toilet Hands.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And, like, they take the photo and they're in the frame, and so you have this unflattering facial silhouette, and, like, you've got this fucking other people that are like, fuck you, Gillette, and they, like, show a snapped razor. I mean, they're the fucking disposables. They're literally, like, $1 a piece, and they're, like, snapping them. Well, I've got 9 more, so you're just gonna keep using them? Pfft, I'm not gonna throw them away.
I wonder if we'll see a picture of somebody with, like, bloody hands or band-aids on every finger because they've snapped these razors by hand or something.
Yeah, they decided to snap the head cartridges.
Yeah.
Which are expensive, you know, relative.
Oh, you know what you could do as a joke? You could post a picture of just the cartridge separate from the handle. Be like, yeah, I broke my razor. Oh, wait. Click. Oh, it's fixed.
Yeah. It's the dumbest thing. These man babies getting super mad about a commercial and then breaking their toys. I don't get it. It's like, it's simple. It's like, okay, well, if a company disappoints you in some manner, sure, whatever, stop buying their product. I don't go eat Jesus chicken, but I don't fucking go buy it and throw it in the trash. That was the other thing. Remember the Greg's vegan sausage rolls?
Oh, yeah.
No, what?
There's like it's a vegan restaurant in Britain.
No, it's just a regular ass bakery. They just added some vegan sausage rolls to their regular, their regular thing. It's just like Dunkin' Donuts added a vegan sausage roll to their thing. They got donuts, they got sausage rolls. They didn't take sausage rolls off the menu. They just added another option for
if you're vegan, you can eat.
Yeah, it's like mycoprotein, which you can't have. It's mushroom based,
right?
Or bean based. It's like in it, but if it has the consistency of sausage,
a lot of it's soy based. Yeah. A lot of the fake meat substitutes are soy based.
Yeah, but you know, there was people making a big deal about that, like Piers Morgan, you know, one of the right-wing UK chuds that was, like, making a big deal about it. Like, oh, you ordered 7 pounds of bacon and ate it all. Fuck you, vegans. And we're like, yo, have fun shitting that out, buddy. And then various other places actually were dunking on him because, you know, again, like, companies look at what will get the best reaction from the widest variety of people. And if dunking on a dipshit celebrity gets them engagement, they will totally do it. Mm-hmm. Cause it was like several other places had recently added vegan options and were like, oh, better not tell Piers Morgan that we've just added this better than beef burger to our menu or whatever. You know, it's just an option. Mm-hmm. But there was literally a video of somebody spending $1 or a pound taking the thing. They spent the money, and then they walk over to a trash can and throw it in. Spending your own money to own the libs, I guess.
And you think that matters to the fucking restaurant at all? They've got your pound.
Yeah, they got your money. Does the fact that you threw it on the ground affect them? No. The guy at the counter is going to think you're a dipshit. Like, I'm sure they taste perfectly fine. In fact, if they had them in the U.S., I'd give them a try, because why not? Like, I like food. I'll try anything, really. But it's the same general thing. Like, spending their own money to own the libs, breaking their own shit to own the libs. I'm feeling very owned right now. Please, you know, next time Sonic Fox says I'm gay, please feel so owned that you have to smash your PlayStation 4 with a hammer. Sonic Fox says I'm gay and I'm playing play games on PC. Oh no, rip out your video card and throw it in the sea.
And hasn't every major tech company made pro-gay statements?
Oh yeah.
Or had same-sex partner benefits by now? I mean, so yeah, like the time has passed for you to like take a hammer to your PS4 or your Xbone.
There was literally like a Pride Month theme that you could download for free for PlayStation 4. So my PlayStation 4 is extremely gay. It's all rainbows and shit. I need to power it on and get everything set up for Fiesta, but it's still gay. PS4 is gay.
You can leave it gay for Fiesta. I mean,
oh, I totally am.
And if anybody complains about it, we're going to be like,
you're in the wrong fucking neighborhood, pal.
Yeah.
You should probably leave. I'm sorry. Your gay console is impugning my manly Dragon Ball Z fighting game.
You're in town a few months too late for the NRA meeting, dude.
Yeah, you'd have a bad time. Oh, the Hunting Expo is at the convention center, not the furry con. So that pretty much is it. I've just been like, it's been a pretty good week. Like, my parents are doing okay. I'm doing a little bit better. Like, there's been positive stuff in the news. And we get to talk about, we actually had topics that we didn't have to, like, touch on politics or anything. It's great. So,
we could, if you want to talk about the Berbers.
The what?
What was the Birders or Berbers?
Oh, God. Okay, so actually, here's something that's it's just dumb.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you've all seen the picture at this point. It's motherfucking Donald Trump looking like he's the proudest boy in the school with his giant fucking stacks of lukewarm room temperature burgers on $500,000 silver platters that date back to the Civil War in front of a picture of Abraham Lincoln, thinking, this is the second worst thing to me that happened that night at the fucking theater.
Like, they're really nice silver gravy servers. Yeah. They're like filled with Wendy's dipping sauces.
Yeah.
In the containers.
Yeah, it's not like they like spooned them out. They literally are just like, yo, here's the nugget sauce.
And there's the one photo of the guy, three people. Like, Trump's in the background, there's one guy in the foreground, and there's another guy in the foreground, and he's lighting the candles on the chandelier, and he's using a little handheld butane thing, but it's black. And somebody was like, I thought that guy on the right was holding a wand and was doing some fucking Slytherin shit, but it's a lighter.
And it was funny too, because like, you saw the photo and people are like, this can't be fucking real. This is a Photoshop. Nope. There was so many fucking different angles of that. And then actually there was photos of the Clemson student athletes in too. And like, there was a dude who was like really looking pleased with himself, had a bunch of nuggets. There was a black kid who had his fucking AirPods in, just looking like,
like, what the fuck?
You know, and I really hope none of those kids got food poisoning, because let me tell you, lukewarm fast food,
not the best thing in the world.
Gonna get food poisoning.
And I love that, like, the next day, the fucking Burger King official Twitter dunked on him. They were like, we're all out of Berbers due to a large order, but come in for some flame broiled Whoppers or something like that. But they basically dunked on his typo.
Hamburgers. And like, and it was so dumb because like the Washington Post or whatever had like the fucking map. They you know how like they have like an overview of the states, except it was an overview of the fucking fast food that was there. And it's like, oh, you know, there was Wendy's here and McNuggets here and the sauces were here, and oh, he also got some Domino's pizza. So like, they had McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, and Domino's pizza.
Now someone said he has like a 5-star Michelin restaurant around the corner.
Yeah,
like not far away.
Well, and see, here's the thing, another thing that people pointed out is that with the shutdown and a lot of federal workers in the area not being paid, those people are not going out to eat as much. So a lot of the restaurants in the DC area are probably kind of suffering sales wise right now. And they're like, he could have taken this opportunity to help out some of these businesses, some of these small indie businesses and restaurants, but But he cheaped out and did fast food instead.
He spent,
you know, he could have actually taken this opportunity to try to turn the narrative in his favor and portray himself as a quote unquote good guy by helping out some small restaurant or something, but instead he did this.
He's a fucking millionaire. I mean, couldn't he have out of pocketed just a nice meal?
Fucking fillet of fishes. Oh, and like the fries. The fries. Did you see the fries?
No.
They have the little paper water cups that say the President of the United States. They're little White House water cups for the fucking water cooler. They had put fries in that. Like, they took them out of the McDonald's thing and like pared them out into smaller portions. So, like, he didn't have to buy as many fries.
I want to share a couple of really funny tweets. First of all, there was the one where it was the picture of him standing there looking all proud. And the person that tweeted it said, "This is the photograph that a time traveler sees when they know that they fucked something up."
Yes.
And I was very amused by that. And then I was even more amused because the guy who plays Steel on DC's Legends of Tomorrow quote tweeted it and said, "It wasn't us."
Nice. So, yeah, I mean, this week it's been okay. There's plenty of dumb shit. The fucking shutdown's still happening. That's awful. There's nothing we can do about that.
You heard about the uncensored rap being played?
No.
There was a couple things about the TSA playing uncensored rap in various airports at full volume.
Cool. Like, I mean, they ain't getting paid. Why do they give a fuck? The fact that they're even coming into work is a goddamn blessing and gift to the people in power.
Someone's saying he's listening to No Sleep Till Brooklyn being played loudly at like 10 p.m. I'm okay with this.
Yeah, it's like just start rapidly looping Fuck the Police by N.W.A. Yeah.
So another thing I want to touch on about the furloughed workers that have to work without being paid because they've been deemed essential is that a lot of people, myself included, were probably like, man, I wouldn't do that. You know, I'd be looking for another job. And the thing is that government jobs are usually very stable. Secondly, they may have a lot of years in and they have a pension built up and, you know, they've built up vacation time and stuff like that. And if they just quit, they lose all that. And the job market is not, a lot of these people work very specialized skills, and it's going to be hard to find something else. It might not pay as much as what they do after working for the government for X amount of years.
They're trying to ride this out to keep their job.
Right. They're
usually pretty decent jobs.
So after the shutdown is over, if the folks that have quit and found something else, they could be fucked and their families could be fucked. So those folks are between a rock and a hard place. Like, they really do kind of have to show up and work for no pay. I mean, they will hopefully get back pay. And usually government people do. And the shortage in TSA people right now is people calling in sick. And the call-in rate is like twice what it was at a comparable time in a previous year. They actually did a study on that. But they're not going to be able to do that because you can only call out so many times.
That, and, you know, some of these people aren't getting paid, so they can't afford the child care that they're not getting paid for.
Yeah, that's another reason people are calling out. You know, they don't have money to pay the sitter.
And TSA jobs are not high paying.
Yeah, they're like $12 an hour.
Yeah, the other thing is like our Coast Guard's not getting paid. So now's the time for ocean crimes. You know,
well, see, the thing, yeah, the Coast Guard's still on the job, though. And, you know, they're out there rescuing dumbasses or, you know, rescuing people that have had some sort of catastrophe. So, like, yeah, they're out there saving lives and they're not being paid. And that is fucking ridiculous. And if we hopefully get into a situation where the Democrats have enough power in the government to actually pass laws again, they need to fucking put something on the books to make sure that this never happens.
If you have to keep working, you're essential.
Yeah, and being essential means you get paid is what they need to change. They need to to pass a law that the government can't shut down, that using the government for its ability to function for political leverage should actually be against the law. That's something I think that they should do. And of course, that's not going to happen until there's a total change in the balance of power. So, you know, cross our fingers. But, you know, if that happens, if 2020 rolls around, did we have a Democratic president and complete control of the House and the Senate? Call your fucking representatives and senators then and be like, hey, you guys should do this, because that whole government shutdown business is really fucked up and it helps nobody. You know, it's also like it's making us less safe. Because there's less people working in the departments that look out for terrorism and shit like that. Cyber crimes units, you know, there's FDA, food inspections, CDC. There's actual, like, scientific experiments or long-running scientific trials, medical trials that are at critical phases. And these people have been told you can't come to work right now. Like I read a couple of things, or people are like, you know, my long running experiment's fucked, because if that person's not essential, then they're not even going into work and working without pay. That department's just fucking shut down, you know, for this reason. So yeah, this is a serious thing that we totally need to change. And yeah, sorry to actually introduce politics back into it, but
you've ruined everything.
I've ruined everything. But this is important.
It fucking matters.
And you know, a lot of people's reactions, like, if you're not fully informed, is to be like, who needs the government anyway? What did they ever do for me? And then, you know, and yeah, maybe like 10 years ago I would have thought the same. And then you start reading up on it, and you realize, like, how much the government is actually doing behind the scenes on a day-to-day basis that you don't even think about. It's just, it's an autonomic function of our society. And the effects of that start showing up when those things are not happening anymore. So this is now the longest shutdown in U.S. history.
So he's got that.
So congratulations. You know, that's something he could put in his...
Longest one ever, and the country got fucked because of it.
Yeah, I think like the previous longest was 21 days under Bill Clinton, and we're now up to like 24. That was also the
Republicans' fault.
Yeah.
What were they grandstanding for that time? I forget.
It was Gingrich being a dipshit over something.
Abortion, I believe.
Yeah.
They wanted to.
Or maybe don't ask, don't tell.
No, it was abortion. They wanted it. Well, it was also abortion under Carter. But basically, there's been several occasions where they've wanted to strip government funding for any kind of abortions out of the budget. The Democratic president has been like, I'm not fucking signing that.
Yeah.
And it's dragged on. And, you know, eventually compromises are made or somebody gets their head out of their ass. Also, where's Mitch?
Yeah. Basically, the government needs to continue to function regardless of the pissy bitches in power. The fact that this can even occur is beyond fucking stupid. And the people responsible should be fucking thrown out windows. Preferably high ones. So... now that we've gone down that dark path,
we have opinions.
We're very opinionated people. Surprise. Anything
that's
else, guys?
Our hot take.
Yeah, real spicy.
So yeah, we're releasing a new book at FC. I'll have that online for sale and do the ebook version on Bad Dog Books.
That's The Rabbit Dies First.
Over the weekend. That's The Rabbit Dies First. It's an anthology, short stories, and the story prompt was that title. And that was the only information given, other than, you know, word limits and things like that. And that kind of vague but interesting story prompt can get some neat ideas brewing in writers' heads. So we'll have that available. And of course, we are still selling the Cheetah Paws calendar. Thank you very much to the person who did an unboxing video.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you retweet that with the For Planet account?
I did. Yes. Nice. So I was like, that's pretty awesome. And when he flipped to January to hang it up and he saw Sonic Fox, he laughed out loud. He's like, okay, I'm gay too. So that kind of hit on the hashtag and our calendars. I was like, yeah. Woo, hashtag I'm gay.
How about you, Shiva?
My work has been hell for the past week. I've done nothing but pretty much work, then go home, try to de-stress, and then go back and work. We're doing this incredible thing to try and get our workload down, but it...
So you're busting your ass to...
Basically, I work tech support, and our backlog has been incredible, and we're trying to get it better, but until it's better, we need more people, in short, but they haven't hired them because we're kind of a weird skill set. So just stress, and then TFF is coming up, so yep. That's becoming the usual second job.
So I actually need to double check because I got a panel acceptance email just mm-hmm. now, and I don't know what it's for. If they sent me a cursory, like your first con panel, it got accepted, or if it's the more niche furry video game characters through the ages, because it didn't indicate in the email which one it was.
Well.
Because I'm doing the Your First Con panel with Katsana this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was just an idea I had that I've been working on, but I didn't know if it'd be accepted or not. So we'll find out.
I think it's probably the second one. I think the first one's a given, but...
I never know. Anyways, cool, because they asked me for a description mm-hmm. in one of the chats today. I was like, okay, and I just came up with it.
I would poke... scheduling people.
Yeah, say, I'll do that later. But
and
I was
you
like,
might want to tell them, hey, if people did multiple, you know, panel requests, it doesn't say on here which one you're talking about.
Yeah,
you might want to, you know, clarify.
Yeah.
So there's that. So I'll be doing at least one panel at Fiesta. That's exciting.
Probably multiple.
Yep. I gotta sit down with Katsana and confer on like what all she wants to do on the panel, because I've got the framework. I've done it before, but you know, there's
how many times at Nightmare Night?
5. And then I did it last year at Fiesta.
Oh, I didn't realize you did it last year at Fiesta.
Yeah, I took that over from the dipshit who got his panel script, and I took over it like and did it last second. It was great. So that'll be exciting. Fiesta's here in like less than 3 months.
And everything is starting to go.
It's accelerating. Yay! Yeah.
Once you get 90 days out, like it all happens. Up until then, it's like planning nice and contingencies and ideas. And now it's time to make them all go.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's exciting times, though.
Book the things, buy the things, ship the things, organize.
Somebody
canceled on me, fill the gap things.
Yep.
Oh, that's another con thing that happened. I got my official acceptance letter for the dealer's room at Anthrocon.
Good.
So
awesome.
We got our tables there. They haven't sent out the table assignments yet. I just kind of assume we'll be in roughly the same spot. I always request the same spot.
Hopefully it won't be so hot this year during setup.
That they can't really control.
Oh, I know. That was just the weather being shit.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was hot as shit. And
for those that don't know, the convention center can't run the air conditioning in the dealer's hall during setup because the dock doors are open and a lot of air would get out that way. So the AC shut off while people are loading in, and
it was real hot.
Yeah, it's real hot, and you're already sweating balls because you're moving boxes around and setting up displays and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it was funny because the central aisle, because when they open the doors from the concourse area where the AC is on, it creates this tunnel of air that's rushing outside. So in the center area, there is like literally a 10 degree, like just you cross a line, and it's suddenly like, oh my god, it feels so much better, and you step back and it's like so but yeah, Anthrocon, hopefully I'll be able to assist you guys with that again this year.
So yeah, I got that going for me, which is nice. Also want to shout out another con I'm dealing at that I paid for my tables at. I don't know if I mentioned that last week or not, is Anthro Expo, which is up in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And that is in October, I believe. Hey, if you're an Okiefer or you can get to Oklahoma City, consider going to this one. It's first year con. I'm looking forward to checking it out. OKC is only a 3.5-hour drive for me. So I'm like, sweet, extra con in pretty close driving distance. It'll be interesting to see actually next year what our con sales look like, because now we have the Oklahoma City con 3.5 hours away. We got Furry Invasion like 5 hours away down in San Antonio. We got Fiesta here. And we're doing con DFW here also. So we're starting to get more cons that are in an easier driving range for us. So that's one of several reasons I'm not at FC right now, is I'm saving some days for these extra cons that I'm going to, which, you know, I'm quite happy about being able to add a couple more cons to for Planet's dealing rotation. That's a good thing. So that's all I got.
And it's about 10 o'clock, so we should probably be wrapping it up anyway. We're past an hour 20 on the raw recording.
As usual, you can find us on Twitter at SouthPawsCast. You can email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can send us anonymous asks via southpawscast.tumblr.com. If you want to support the show, we are SouthPawsCast on Patreon. As previously mentioned, go and support Pepper at patreon.com/peppercoyote. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at Fuzzwolf. You can also go to fuzzwolf.com, and there's links to all my other stuff there. As usual, Fuzzwolf is brought to you by forplanet.com.
Ding! You can find me at Saverin Drake on Twitter, Saverin at snouts.online. On Mastodon, you can find me on Twitch at Saverin.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, it sounded like you just hit a pause and were staring at me like you had more that was coming out.
Nope, I only got those three. And
yeah,
I really need to get my act together and get back to streaming on Twitch, because I'm going to lose my affiliate status if I don't cross a certain threshold before like a couple months pass.
Yeah.
It's not like it's hard to regain, but it's just one of those, damn it.
On both Twitter and on, there's Telegram. I'm Chimera, Khymaera. That's the main places you'll find me. I'm not very active on Twitter, but if you at me, I'll get a notification. And then I'm also in our fan chat, which
gained a few people this last week, which is nice, because I put it in the description on the podcast.
And cool. The train keeps chugging.
Yep. Rahata ran a really nice otter train today.
Oh, yeah. That was nice.
With all this make.
Also, on another furry note, a Kickstarter I backed arrived. I bought Tieran a copy of Raccoon Tycoon.
Okay.
And
does that involve like a garbage empire? I mean,
you know, I just bought it because the art was cute and Tieran really likes games, and I was like, I'm gonna buy this for Tieran. And I did the it's either a stretch goal or it was the higher level, I don't remember, but it comes with this bag of specially made coins for the game that are used as currency in the game. But it has really cute art, and the main character is a raccoon, and I thought he would enjoy it. So I'm sure he will roll that out one Friday night for his gaming group. That'd be kind of fun to check out. So, you know, go look into that if you like furries and you like board games.
Because there's Roller Coaster Tycoon, which is when you build roller coasters. It's like,
right.
If you're a raccoon tycoon, does that mean that you just hoard raccoons? I mean,
you build a city out of trash cans. They're just all arranged and welded together.
I'm pretty sure that would just be Raccoon Slumlord.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what we've learned from Trump, though. You're a slumlord, but you call yourself a tycoon.
Fair. I'll pay that one.
So on that note, good night.
And big books.